Stand with me if you've been in Luke chapter 15. Let's read a few verses. We'll not be long this morning. The sun will still be in the sky when we're done. Somewhere around the world. We're going to start at verse 11 and read down through verse 21. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, keep in mind, a Jewish boy shouldn't have anything to do with pigs, swine, but that's where he was. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go unto my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And we'll stop right there. Let's bow our heads for a quick word of prayer. Father, in these next few minutes, let the Holy Spirit of God speak to every heart. I do not know the needs of every life, but you do. And your Holy Spirit has the capacity to use your word to speak to every heart. Holy Spirit, please, we pray that you will do your work. I yield myself to you as best I know how, and let flow from my mouth what you mean to have said. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in this passage of Scripture, we have this prodigal son. Now, in chapter 15, we have Jesus teaching, and his teaching about lost things. First of all, he talks about a man who has 100 sheep, and one of those lambs comes up missing, so he leaves the 99 in the fold, and he goes after the one lost sheep. Now, we know in this situation, this wasn't a lamb that thought to himself, I'm going to be a rebel. I'm going to run away from home. I'm going to get out of the flock. No, no. He's just a dumb sheep. And so he just wanders away and he gets lost. It's not like it's a premeditated thing. He gets lost. Now, then there's the second thing. That's the parable of the 10 lost silver coins. And a woman has 10 coins. She loses one of them. And so she has to search the house and clean it and sweep it and look under everything. And lo and behold, she finds it. And she calls all the neighbors and rejoices. Oh, I found my one silver coin. Now, we know that that coin wasn't thinking, I'm going to go hide myself. Let's play hide and seek. No, that coin wasn't thinking. She dropped it. She lost it. But she found it, right? You ever have something you lost and then you find, you go, wow, that's great. Yesterday, I was looking for my billfold. I went to men's prayer breakfast. I came back. I was going to do some things. I was taking my wife out shopping, and I reached back, and my billfold's gone. And I think, okay, I go to my dresser. I look up there, and let me just tell you, it's no easy thing to find anything on my dresser. But that's my filing system. That's my filing system. And every once in a while, Miss Vicky cleans it off. I can't find anything. And it wasn't there. I look under the bed. I look in the rocker. I look everywhere. And she says, when's the last time you had it? And I'm thinking, yesterday I was mowing. And our church has a zero turn, and I was using that. And just yesterday I was mowing the fields. Now, I like to do that because I put on a book on Audible. And I put that book in, then I put the earmuffs. And I spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and I'll hear a whole book. That's what I did. And so I got to thinking, and then it dawned on me, every time I drive that zero turn, I have my billfold with me, I lose it. But fortunately, every time it's been in the zero turn. So I get out of my car, I come up here to the barns where we keep it, I look there, and right beside the seat, there's my billfold. Then I wanted to call the whole neighborhood, rejoice with me, my billfold's found. I got $10 in it, let's have a party. I just thinking, wow. And then I told my wife, honey, Remind me never to carry my billfold when I'm on that zero turn. It does that vibration. I'm thinking, oh, I'm in my blue jeans. It ain't going nowhere. It will. It migrates out. Okay. Well, it's because I'm so slim and trim and has room to vibrate out. I'm just telling you. Jealous. People are jealous. Anyway. And what's interesting enough, then we come to this lost son. But we know that he made a conscious decision. And now he suffers the consequences. But he makes it right. I remember when I was a young kid, I'd sometimes hear someone preach and they'd say, you know, God forgave us of our sins and we're not to sin. And then it says, and we really need to be careful not to do willful sins. Don't do willful sins. And then I got to thinking, well, isn't every sin willful? What? Did you ever just fall into sin? You were walking along, whoa! You know, I sinned. I didn't know about, whoa, that was bad. You didn't just trip over. You didn't fall in sin. You made up your mind. You made a decision. And you sinned. And that's exactly what he did. He made a willful decision. Dad, I'm going. And give me what's mine. And he went into the far country and spent all. By the way, is there any adult that thinks that story's going to turn out good? Huh? No. Been there, done that, huh? Not me. Brother Vessel, he told me all about it. And, but it doesn't turn out good. No, it doesn't. But what he did then is a beautiful story. Because he got right. And it took courage to say you were wrong. It took courage to make it right. It took courage for him to come from the far country back home. And so I want to look at this story. Now, the Greek word here, one of the Greek words, I guess, for repentance, is metanoeo. Now, I know I murdered that because I did take Greek, but that was 40-some years ago, I guess. And Dr. Dwayne Dunham's over here. He taught Greek for 28 years. He's probably reading out his Greek New Testament right now. But so don't correct me until after the service. But it means to perceive afterwards, meaning to change one's mind or purpose. Always in the New Testament involves a change for the better. It means a change of mind, which involves both a turning from sin and a turning toward God. So it's not just saying that's wrong, but it's turning from sin and turning toward God. Because in essence, what you're saying is this is wrong and this is the only one who can make me right. Because God is our only source of change. He's our only source. Can the Bible says, can a leopard change its spots? No, it can't. We can't become good just because we will it. Only God can do a work in our lives because we're set in our ways. But the Holy Spirit of God can and does change us a little at a time to be conformed into the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me share with you the three areas of courage that this prodigal showed. First of all, we see he had courage to have a proper awareness. The courage to have a proper awareness. The Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself. Now, some people never reach that. Some people dig a ditch and they get themselves in the ditch and they think, might as well go to China. Might as well just keep digging this ditch. And the truth is, all of us know someone like that. And by the way, you may be here this morning and you're like that. But all of us know someone who in their 20s started digging the wrong ditch and now they're in their 50s. Guess what? They're still digging. They still think if they keep going, it's going to turn around. Oh, I messed it up, but if I keep going this way, it's going to turn around. No, it's not. You're not going to reach China. By the way, it gets hot before it gets cooler. But here's a boy who dug a ditch, finds himself in the ditch and realizes, I don't want to be here. So he came to a proper awareness. He realized that he was wrong and he wanted to turn it around and make it right. So he had that proper awareness. Have you come to yourself? Or properly, let me say, have you come to the end of yourself? the end of yourself? Have you reached the place in life where you figured out you don't have it figured out? Have you realized there's problems in life that you have no solutions for, but God does? You have no answers for questions, but God does. You have nothing to do. There are certain problems that confront us in life that we don't know what to do. Hezekiah said it this way. He said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that's the way. Do you realize that sometimes God backs us in a corner only so we'll look up and say, yes, Lord? Sometimes God brings circumstances to bear. Sometimes we paint ourselves in the corner and we did the painting. But God puts us there so we'll say, help, help, help. And by the way, you know that God sends Christians to help people who need help. Remember when the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts had that vision of the man of Macedonia? What did the man of Macedonia say? Come help us. Come preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. No, that's what he needed. But here's what he prayed. Help us. Someone help us. That's what they prayed. Someone help us. They didn't know the theology of what to pray for, but they're praying, help us. Don't you know there's a lot of people in life, with as bad as life is, there's a lot of people that just sometimes, every once in a while, walk in the backyard when it's all dark, when nobody's there, and maybe a tear comes down their cheek, and they say, Lord, help us. I can't get along with my wife. My kids are going every which way. Lord, help us. Help us. Don't you know there's a wife that is going shopping, and sometimes she just breaks down and just says, help us. Lord, help us. I need some help. Yesterday I was at a grocery store. I found my billfold, took my wife to a grocery store. She always likes that because when I go with her, I pay for it. She likes that. I give her allowance to pay for it, so when she goes, she pays for it. But if I go to it, I just pay for it myself. And boy, did she buy a lot of stuff, man. Because I pay for it. Oh, I get up there at the register, and there's this lady's saying, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to put some things back. Let me put this back in. And I just heard that, and so I said, I'll pay for it. I said, lady, let me pay for it. I said to the person behind me, I said, I'm paying for it. And she looks at me like, no. And the lady said, no. I said, yes, I'm paying for it. I said, that's okay. And she said, really? And she teared up, you know, her eyes got red. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'll pay for that. There's no problem. I looked up, it was like $27. But she had a card, and, you know, it didn't have enough in the card and stuff like that. And then she's trying to run it again because she's trying to take some from her card. I said, let me just pay for all of it. And, you know, I don't know how much it was. It was maybe $51, something around there. And I said, I'll just pay for all of it. She looks at, she was red, tears started coming down. And I just went over, pat her on the back. I said, ma'am, all of us need help in life sometime. All of us need help. This is just my opportunity to be a blessing to you. I'm just so glad to do it. And she just couldn't believe it. And the lady said, I can't believe this. I said, you ought to. We're just helping each other. And so I do that. And then I reach in my billfold and I give her a $20 bill. I said, ma'am, you're going to need some spending money here. Just take that too. And I pay for her groceries. Now, wait a minute. Oh, that's a great thing. Well, I've already told you stupid things. I'm just trying to counter it a little bit. Let me just say, I got a whole lot more stupid than I do sweet. So I told you, I know stupid and stupid knows my name. So I'm just saying. But all of us can help somebody. All of us can help somebody, and everybody needs help sometime. And so this guy came to a proper awareness of himself. He came to himself. Have you come to that awareness in your life that you need God more than you think you need God? Have you come to that place in your life when you hear that chorus, or you sing that chorus sometimes? It's an old one. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Have you come to that place where that's more than just words? And you have the realization that you really need God. Boy, you need God in your marriage. You need God in your health. You need God in your family. You need God in your finances. You need God in your job. You need God in your church. You need God here. You need God there. I need thee. He came to a proper awareness. And we all have to start there, coming to a proper awareness. Secondly, notice he had the courage to have a proper assessment. He said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? So here he is in the far country. He's eating with the swine and he wakes up. He comes to himself and he says, hey, my servants have it better over there at my father's house. My servants live better than I'm living. Now, I know you come to a certain age in your life where everything's doing well and then you'll talk. Let me tell you what I did when I was 20. Oh, I was so dumb. But I remember, oh, we had parties and we did this and we do that and we'd get in fights and how was that? How good were those days? They weren't very good. That's how I ended my first marriage. That's how I lost this girlfriend. That's how I lost it. Oh, I had a good job. I lost that. That's why my kids won't talk to me anymore. I'm just saying, you come to the place where you realize the mess you find yourself is not as good as it was when you were serving God, when you were living for God, when you were doing right. And so he comes to himself, he makes a proper assessment. He realized that it was better back there than where he found himself. You know, let me give another personal illustration. I remember when I was newly married, my wife and I got married. We were a mature age. She was 19. I was 20. We knew exactly what we wanted in life. And we were very, very mature for our ages. So we tell ourselves now. But when I was 21 years of age, we'd been married about a year. And I'm going to go visit my father and mother in their house. And we go over there. And this was around 1980, somewhere around there. So actually, we'd been married for 5 years. And so we go there, and my father, and it happens to be around an election year. And for the first time in my life, I was going to cast a ballot for someone different than my father and how I had raised. I mean, the first person I voted for was Jimmy Carter. Oh, please. But anyway, I'm just saying. And now I'm going to vote for Ronald Reagan. And my dad was staunch. And so, but I said, Dad, you can't vote for that. He said, you're voting for the rich people. And I said, well, I don't know about that. I don't know how rich Ronald Reagan is. I'm not rich. I said, but Dad, you're not for abortion. But that's part of the policy. And so we're talking about, you're not for killing babies. I'm not for killing babies. But you're not for... And so me and my dad were getting a little... Well, you know, I thought, I'm 21 years old. I'm just going to logically convince him. And so I'm just sharing with him, you know, I was probably in my mid-20s, but I'm sharing with him all these ideas of why he's wrong, I'm right. Well, my dad was getting redder in the face. Because for a Southern Democrat to go other way, you know, that's anathema. That's like, whoa, don't do that. And so it ended with my father not so politely inviting me to leave his home. Whoa! Never been there before. And so I get my wife, and I think we have one or two babies at the time, and so we're going in the car, and I'm thinking, and Vicky's saying, what happened? Well, we were just talking politics. Well, why did y'all start yelling? Well, it wasn't me yelling. That was Dad. I didn't bust any windows or burn any cars. Anyway, that's the story. And so we're arguing. I'm going home. And I start thinking. And of course, there's no cell phones. It takes me several hours to get home. And I get home. And I call up my father. I said, Dad, I'm wrong. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care who I vote for. That has nothing to do with our relationship. I was wrong. And I am so sorry. I am so sorry, Dad. And my father said, Son, I'm sorry. I am so sorry, too. I love you. And I said, Dad, I love you. I've always loved my father. I said, and I know he's always loved me. I love you. And we made things right. And you know what I learned at an early age is sometimes being right is not that important. Having a relationship is. Now, that'd do your marriages good if you got to that place where you didn't care about being right all the time. You just nodded your head and said, I love you. She says, the world's flat. And say, yes, honey, I love you. Just agree. It's not a doctrinal truth, you know. It's not Bible. Just don't fight over it. Don't fuss over it. But he realized that his being right, and of course at that age he thought he was right and his father was wrong, but he realized what his father had was better than what he had. He had the proper assessment. And then finally, he had courage to have a proper admission. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. A proper admission. And notice, and this is the thing that just blows me away, he went back to his father to get it right. Now, here's what most Christians would do today. We're in the far country. We mess up. And we want to get it right in the far country, but not go home and face it. Because you know that's the worst part of getting right, right? Is you got to face it. So it's better to stay in the far country and get right with God and start all over than go back to Dad and say, Dad, I was wrong. I sinned before God and before you. That's why people leave churches sometimes. It's so much easier to go to a new church and act like nothing went wrong. But it's better to go to the church and say, you know, I messed up. I want to do right. This morning I was in the 8:30 service. I was talking about a man in our church who in the early days in the Carpenter's Hall, when we started many years, 32 years ago, after several years, he came in. He just came out of Bible college, was there for a while. Later got married. And had a good marriage for a while, but then, you know, they had problems and things fell apart. And the marriage fell apart. Got a divorce. Loved both of them through it. Didn't work. Now, I know the devil got in it, but that's just what happened. And then years gone by, and then eventually he just got out of church. Got out of church. Then sometimes made other dumb decisions. But you know, many years went by, and then one day he shows up in my office. And he comes into my office, and I call his name. I said, man, it's so good to you. I love the guy. I said, so good to see you. And he said, I was in Oklahoma, and it dawned on me, I want to get right with God. And he said, so I started thinking, when did I have peace and joy the last time? He said, when I was serving at Grandview Baptist Church. So he drove from Oklahoma to Oregon to sit in my office, say, Pastor, I'm getting right with God. And I'm going to start serving God again. And he has every week of his life these last 7 years. This morning he ran a bus route. I'm just saying, it's so smart when you come to yourself and you get things right. And you know, I'm just looking across the congregation and we're all just a bunch of prodigals. Maybe it was 30 years ago when you had your experience. Maybe it was 3 days ago. But we've all been there, done that. And we ought to get smart enough. And by the way, when I say prodigals, I'm not talking about one time. Other times we've made dumb decisions. But we ought to be smart enough and be courageous enough to repent and get it right. What in your life needs to be made right? And by the way, if you've been there, done that, Could you just realize this? That every single Sunday, there's one or two other prodigals that just showed up. You know what our job as Christians are? Every one of us ought to be like the prodigal's daddy, who runs and greets and hugs and kills the fatted calf and puts on the ring and puts on the robe. When we have people who have been out of church, when we have people who have messed up their life a little bit, don't like, oh, what are you doing? Just love on them, hug on them, let them know you care about them. And let's just be the prodigal father who loves his children coming home. Let's be that. And if you're in that area where there's areas of your life you're a little prodigal, you're a little strained from the Father, let me just say, have courageous repentance and decide you're going to make things right. You'll have the blessings of God on your life.